Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
What a great day in St. Louis. Man, it's beautiful out there. Just a gorgeous fall morning here in St. Louis. It would be a great day before we get into college football and everything else. Hockey, oh my gosh, are they bad. All the other good stuff. College soccer, what a great day to be on the campus at St. Louis University. The SLU men taking on Dayton today at noon. The A-10 tournament final and a chance to get into the NCAA tournament as the champion of the Atlantic 10. They've been ranked all year, and congratulations for all the success. But today it is game time, crunch time. It's time. And the Billikens will take on Dayton today at noon. Looking forward to that. That'll be at Herman Stadium on the campus of St. Louis University. I know they're getting that place all ready to go, and the fans will pack in. They put thousands of people in there. They can get, what, about 7,000 in there, I think. 4,000 probably is what they average, but I think they can slam in a lot more than that if you want to get in. Go see the Billikens today against Dayton. That's a great Sunday activity. How about Lindenwood University's men's soccer team? They won the OVC championship last night at Hunter Stadium, another great stadium on the campus in St. Charles. They defeated Houston Christian 4-2 in PKs to advance to the NCAA tournament for the first time in school history. Lindenwood University, they are going to the NCAA tournament. They outshot Houston Christian 10-4. Put a lot of pressure on the Huskies in the first 45 minutes of play, and then they were able to capture some success in the second half, and they end up going to PKs, and after 110 minutes of the OVC championship, they make school history, first time in program history, they are going to the tournament. Congrats to Lindenwood. Tom Ackerman with you. Great to be with you. We're here until noon. We've got the full show today. Chiefs don't play until this afternoon with a 2 o'clock pregame. Chiefs-Broncos, great game. I think the Chiefs are better than they are, so we'll see if I'm right about that. We'll do our NFL picks at 11 o'clock. We'll talk. I had somebody, Dennis, my buddy on Twitter, said you should spend all of 4 seconds on the Blues. No, I'd be a little tougher on them than that. We'll get to that disaster here in just a bit. But first, let's talk some college football because that's fun. Now, I'll mention Mizzou and Illinois first. Both of them have had very good seasons, and I think that they should be commended for that. Missouri is not done yet. they can go to Oklahoma and spoil their whole celebration after they beat Alabama yesterday. That's a great opportunity for Missouri. Missouri's good. Now, Oklahoma can stop the run, but I don't know if you can stop Ahmad Hardy. 25 carries, 300 yards for Hardy yesterday against Mississippi State in a 49-27 win. Then they go to Arkansas to wrap up the regular season and see which bowl they play in. As for Illinois, they handled Maryland 24-6, and they should be commended for the season that they have had. They came back from a disastrous early game against Indiana, picked themselves up, got themselves going, had a good, strong showing after that, beating USC, who turns out to be a really good team, beating Purdue, losing to Ohio State at home 34-16, and while that was a decisive win for Ohio State, it was actually one of the toughest games Ohio State has had to play. They beat Washington 24-6, and the only closer or as close margin of victory was the 34-16 win at Illinois. Then Illinois turned around and lost to Washington, and that was the killer. 42-25, very disappointing to lose at Washington. But they turn around and they hand Rutgers and Maryland a couple of big defeats. Now they go to Wisconsin and Northwestern. They can win those two and finish the season out, regular season 9-3, and go play in a good bowl. And you know what? They've had a very good program built right now by Brett Bielema. They are going to be a winner. They're kind of trying to make themselves like Illinois, like Iowa and Wisconsin were for a number of years. An 8-9-10 win team that could beat you up and be very tough to stop. Luke Altmyer's a great quarterback, and congrats to a good season so far for Illinois. But neither team is in the college football playoff. And the way college football is defined today, I know coaches don't like this, and Eli was talking about this week, that we should, it's too bad you're either in or out of the playoffs, and that's how you're defined. Well, unfortunately, that's how it is in college football. It's the way it's been designed, and you are one of the 12 teams or you're not. And neither of those teams are a top 12. Here are the top 12 and how I see this right now. Number one team in the nation is Ohio State. And they should be the number one team when the college football playoff rankings come out. That will happen on Tuesday night. They are number one for a reason. And they have dominated pretty much everybody on their schedule. And yesterday they handed UCLA a defeat by the count of 48-10. The number two team in the nation is Indiana. Indiana against Wisconsin yesterday. Wisconsin was coming off a victory. They play a slow pace where they like to play good side. They got some great tacklers, great linebackers, good defense. They keep games low scoring, and they like to keep the game manageable and low scoring. And they did that exact thing against Indiana for a while, until the Hoosiers did what they do, which is break the will of the opponent and wear them out. And when it was all said and done, Indiana had walked away with a victory. The final score was 31-7. Indiana beats Wisconsin, looking dominant again. They've won 15 in a row at home, and that is the longest winning streak in the country for a home field advantage. Indiana beats Wisconsin 31-7. At the same time, Texas A&M was getting drilled by South Carolina. They were down 30-3 at halftime. But the Aggies, Mike Elko, rallies them somehow in the locker room. They come out and they flatten South Carolina. It's a total collapse by Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks. But that said, it's a great win for Texas A&M. Much like Indiana rallying to win against Penn State the week before when their game was not at its best, they proved to themselves that when championship things are on the line, they can achieve them. Texas A&M did the same thing yesterday. That's a great win for the Aggies. Oh, my gosh. Might have saved them. It's 31-30 at home over South Carolina. But they should remain at three, I would think. I wouldn't penalize them, nor would I lift them over Indiana for that. It should be 1, 2, 3 in that order. But the other first round bye at the moment, and again, a lot of things have to be sorted out here in the college football playoff projections. A lot of games to go. Alabama is in trouble, and I'm going to explain why. They're 8-2. They lost at home to Oklahoma 23-21. It's inexcusable. Look, I know Oklahoma's great. They've got that great defensive front. But, you know, if you want to sit there and tout yourself as one of the best teams in the country, you got to win a game like that at home. And Alabama lost it. You can't make excuses. Oklahoma wins the game flat out, played better because they were the better team on the field yesterday, period. And that is an indictment of Alabama. Alabama is thought of as a superpower right now by brand. In reality, Alabama is a very good SEC team. They are not the Nick Saban Crimson Tide, nor will they be. They have changed the way they play. They are a pass-first team. They used to be a big, physical, tough team. They morphed and changed a little bit over the years from passing to running. But defensively, not as good, and offensively, not as powerful as they once were. They lose to Oklahoma. Now, here's where they're going to run into some trouble. Because Alabama has to win out to make the playoff. Are we all in agreement on that? I think they can't afford a third loss. As much as they think they can still get in with a third loss. They play Eastern Illinois on Saturday. Now, it drives me crazy that these SEC teams do this. I mean, Texas A&M, they've got the big, mighty Samford, I do believe, coming up next for them next week. Am I right about that? Yeah, Samford, 1-10. That's like taking a week off because you're going to rest all your players. So Alabama has Eastern Illinois. Big Ten gets Indiana gets criticized for having a soft early schedule. We're not criticizing these teams for basically playing nobody before they play their big rivals. Are you kidding me? The SEC has been doing this for years. How about play an extra conference game like the Big Ten does? Oh, the SEC will end up doing that. But they play Eastern Illinois, Alabama does. And then next, the Iron Bowl at Auburn. That will be as much pressure as Kalen DeBoer has ever experienced in his career. Auburn is haunted. It is a real pain for Alabama, and it is going to be a very difficult game for them. I don't care what Auburn's record is. They will do anything to beat Alabama in that game. Alabama needed to win that game yesterday against Oklahoma, and they fell flat. The team that's going to leap them is Georgia. Georgia hammers Texas in the fourth quarter, 35-10. Kirby Smart is one of the best coaches in the country. He does an amazing thing here. Georgia scores a touchdown to open the fourth quarter. It was 14-10. The touchdown makes it 21-10. Nobody on the other sideline is expecting this, but Smart says, let's do an onside kick right here. We've got this game. Momentum is on our side. Let's drop the hammer on this team right here. And they do. Onside kick. They recover it. They actually run it, advance it, and then end up scoring another touchdown. It's 28-10, and the route is on 35-10. Texas had nothing after that, and they lose the game 35-10. Georgia's really good. They kind of scare me how good they are right now. And they are going to be a first-round bye, I do believe, if they keep on trucking here. Could be a very interesting SEC championship game, whoever gets in there. You got A&M, you got Bama, you got Georgia. Now you have Texas Tech looming out of the Big 12. They dropped the hammer on UCF 48-9. They're ranked sixth. They should move up a notch too as Alabama falls. Ole Miss barely hangs on. Now Lane Kiffin will tell you all games in the SEC are tough. They were playing Florida, a team that is without a coach and without direction, and almost knocked them off. And then Ole Miss woke up and shut them out in the second half and won 34-24. The team, obviously, to watch is Notre Dame. They looked great yesterday. St. Louis and Jeremiah Love, 23 carries, 147 yards, and a touchdown. Did you see that touchdown run? He looked like a video game where you're hitting the B button or whatever, and he's spinning around all over the place. He is incredible, and Notre Dame looks great. They've won eight in a row. They're a big brand, so the committee's going to shove them in. I mean, you can forget about BYU. If they lose the Big 12 championship game, there's no chance that BYU would get in over Notre Dame if you're comparing two lost teams. Not even close. I mean, Notre Dame not only looks better, but they've got the brand that the committee salivates over. The rest of them, you know, Utah is ranked 13th. They drill Baylor. Miami's got a chance for an at-large out of the ACC. They're the highest-ranked ACC team, but they're 4-2 in the league, so they don't really have a chance at getting to the ACC championship. That's really between Georgia Tech and Virginia at this point. Those two teams are 6-1. The ACC is just kind of like by itself. You got the Power Three, then the ACC, and then the others. The ACC is not at the level of the Big Ten, SEC, and Big 12. USC is still hanging around. They're 8-2, 6-1 in the Big Ten. They beat Iowa 26-21. Georgia Tech had to sneak by a 1-10 Boston College team, 36-34, and Virginia beat Duke 34-17. Duke is now 5-5, but as of yesterday, they had a path to the ACC championship. That's what I'm talking about. The ACC is just sort of like in its own world. It's very weird. Then you have a group of five team that can get into the bracket, and it's anybody's guess who the heck that's going to be. So it's the top 12. I'll be fascinated to see how they do that here coming up in the ESPN announcement on Tuesday night. But a little bit of an idea as to where we are right now. There are a lot of players still involved in this thing. It's mostly SEC, Big Ten, Big 12 could have some. And the ACC has to have one, and the group of five has to have one. But it is college football is alive and well, isn't it? Man, it's fun. When we come back, we'll talk about something that isn't fun. The Blues are terrible. They are just a bad hockey team. I don't know how else to put it. But we will do our best when we come back. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. Josh Schertz and the Billikens coming up at 10:30. And a lot more coming, including Chaim Bloom at 11:30. The Cardinals president of baseball operations. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. We are going to talk to Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens, coming up at 10:30. So that's just minutes away. The Billikens are the show in town right now. I had somebody ask me, one of my good buddies asked me on a text thread, who in town can give us some success and not fail early in the season? The Cardinals? Nope. The Blues? Nope. City? Nope. All fail. All of them. Can't deny it. They've all failed to get the crowds and everybody excited about their season. Oh, wait a minute. There's one. The St. Louis Billikens. They look great. We'll talk to Josh Schertz about it. 4-0 start coming up here on KMOX. But the St. Louis Blues, I mean, this is ridiculous. Stat. 18 minutes and 36. This is all you need to know. You can talk about Friday night blowing two-goal leads, losing to the Flyers 6-5 in a shootout. All you need to know is this right here. The Blues last night against the Vegas Golden Knights, from a period of time from the first period into the second period, for a span of 18 minutes and 36 seconds, did not have a shot on goal. That is almost the equivalent of a period of play. In that 18 minutes and 36 seconds, Vegas had 15 shots on goal and scored three goals. And to make matters worse, one of them was scored by a player that the Blues basically said goodbye to, and Brandon Saad. Saad scored one of them. Vegas won the game 4-1. What an absolute mess this team is. It's just not a good hockey team. Good hockey teams don't do that, ever. And don't act like they're just sort of like going through the motions. Do they not get paid to entertain the fans who come in and pack the place? Do they not play at the highest level of hockey in the NHL? I mean, how much more can we ask of a team as people who watch them? Let's just go to it. This is Justin. Listen to this. This is Blues defenseman Justin Falk.
Justin, where do you feel like that got away from you guys tonight?
Earlier than we wanted to, probably the start of the second when they came out and got an early goal. The life on the bench and within the group, definitely. To be honest, there wasn't a ton, and it kind of got drained after that. And ultimately, kind of played the rest of the game on autopilot, it seemed.
Okay, stop right there. That's all I need. Autopilot, he said. Autopilot. This is head coach Jim Montgomery, if you can advance to that. No life on the bench and autopilot. NHL game, right, Drew? I'm not mistaken. This was a game that counted, right? This wasn't an exhibition game, right? This was an actual NHL game that counted in the standings. What are we, like a quarter of a way through the season? Here's coach Jim Montgomery.
I don't agree with that. I think we got flat, and that's where, you know, we need to have more from our group. There needs to be a better response. I don't like the start of our second period, but that's been most of the season. But I did think that at around the 10-minute mark, we started to play better hockey. We were more connected. We were more physical. The penalty kill was good at the we killed that off. And then we got flat again. It's, you know, we need to be better.
All right, that's it. That's all I need. What's the difference between autopilot and flat? Nothing. So you don't disagree with what Justin Falk said. He said they're on autopilot. He says they're flat. It's the same thing. I'm not going to blame the coach here for this, if that's what you're looking for. This is on the players. It's on Doug Armstrong. It's on Jim Montgomery. It's on the players. It's on ownership. It's always on everybody. But this is mostly on the players here. Wake up. You're getting paid a lot of money to play a game that you've been playing your whole life. And unless there's some mass run of injuries that I'm not aware of, to be on autopilot and flat in an NHL game in front of fans who are plunking down a lot of money and a team that was expected to make a run in the playoffs is inexcusable. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to actually talk about a team that is worth the money on the floor at Chaffetz Arena. It's the St. Louis Billikens. They are legit, folks. I'm here to tell you. Also, they're drawing quite the celebrity factor to their crowd. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Weak side rebound, McCautry above the rim. Ahead to Sharma on the drive. The lob. One-hand jam time. Oh, baby. Otieno hits the deck hard as he was bounced in there. It was a lob and a one-hand jam. He caught it up at the top of the square, Earl.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
3:28 remaining, 78-53. This is Billiken basketball from Learfield.
That is Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. with the call. Billikens were up by 25 at that point. They win it 78-64 over Grand Canyon, a good team that had been to the tournament four out of the last 5 years. We're joined by Josh Schertz. Our visits with him are sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. How about that? And the defensive effort, we'll get into all that. On KMOX was a fun night, Josh Schertz.
Yeah, no, it was a really good night. A great crowd. I thought our student section was awesome and loud, brought great energy. We got I think it was 6,000 plus in there. Obviously, hopefully, the ones that came will come back, and we'll continue to build up that. But good team performance, good team win. Obviously, would have liked to finish the game a little better, but that stretch in the second half from up 2 to up 27, I think we outscored them 35-10. Over a 12-minute window was certainly eye-opening and I think insight into kind of, you know, who we can be as a team.
Yeah, that was really something. You're right. I mean, it happens in a hurry. By the way, Otieno, that last dunk, he came down, it looked like on his ankle. What's the latest on him?
Yeah, he's getting looked at today. I think he's okay. Just came down and landed, I think the guy had fallen, and he landed on a prone player from Grand Canyon. So when he came down to dunk, there was a guy laying under the basket, and he landed on him. And so don't think it's anything too serious, we hope, but I'll know more today. He and Kellen will get checked out, and we'll see kind of where they are as we're heading into 4 days of practice here before we play again on Friday.
Yeah, Kellen got smoked on a screen right in front of us at midcourt by Breidenbach. That was a tough one.
Yeah, it was a tough one, and it was a physical, clean play. It was one of those, Kellen's pressuring the ball. I think, I don't know if I can't really tell. I mean, Rob was pretty far off. I don't know if Kellen didn't hear Robbie calling under, the screen. Regardless, we didn't hear it. We got cracked, and that was tough because I thought Kellen really he had a poor first half for him, but his second half he was off to a great start. I mean, they had two or three steals right away. He was so active, and we certainly missed him. Those last 10-11 minutes of the game that he went down. So we're hoping he's fine. He'll get evaluated today as well, and I'm sure they'll go through a variety of tests, that they do when you have something like that, concussion, et cetera. And we'll hope he's okay and ready to go tomorrow as well.
Billikens get the win 78-64 over Grand Canyon. And I didn't know how far they were going to go with the fouls early. I mean, it was like, what, 6-0 on the fouls? Like, my goodness.
8-0?
Yeah. Like, what is going on here? And then the crowd, of course, I was just waiting for it. I actually said it on TV. I said, listen to the crowd when they call that first foul. And they were all over it. They were having some fun with it. But after that, your team played as good a defense as I can remember. I mean, it was just remarkable what you did to lock up a good Grand Canyon team.
Yeah, no, I thought we were really dialed in, you know, what we did discipline-wise, you know, our game plan, the focus, the physicality, you know, it was across the board. I mean, how we guarded ball screens, we did a great job in transition of building walls, sprinting back. I thought our contests were great. You know, they're terrific in transition. They're terrific on the offensive glass. They're an awesome ball screen team, and I thought those areas, you know, our discipline, attention to detail, physicality, multiple efforts, all those things were terrific. And a lot of times, I mean, you know this, Tom, like, you know, people get into an offense is much more sexy and it sells, but, you know, if you're a bad defensive team, you're never going to be a good offensive team because you're always going to take the ball in the net. So it doesn't, you know, to be a great offensive team, you have to be, to me, a really elite defensive team. That's always been, you know, what we like that team in 23-24 that led the, you know, whatever led Division I in offensive efficiency at Indiana State. We were number one in the Valley in defense too. And the year before we were number two. And last year in the A-10, we were number four in defense efficiency. So that's the hallmark of everything is being able to guard and finish plays. And that gets us out in transition. The ability to force tough shots, force turnovers, that allows us to get out and create the pace we want. But everything starts with us on the defensive end.
This Deion Brown rebounding is just crazy. I mean, I can't believe how good of a rebounder he is. Obviously, you saw it. That's why you brought him here. But the Boston College transfer has 15 boards. I mean, he's grabbing rebounds from 7-footers at the peak of his jump. I mean, what the heck? Wow.
Yeah, there's just certain guys that have a nose for the ball. You know, they just have, like, you know, those guys in football that always, you know, come up with the fumble at the bottom of the pile, pull it out. The guy just, that's just Deion Brown. He just has a knack for it, a nose for it. He finds ways to come up with those plays. And yeah, that rebound in the second half was super impressive. I mean, a crowd of people, like you said, I think, you know, 7-footer in there, and he just rise above everybody to go high point that rebound, but gets 15 rebounds. And then what he does defensively, you know, the ability, the pressure he brings, the ability to guard multiple positions. I mean, he's a two-way guy. He's a terrific rebounder. He's got unbelievable energy. You know, he's certainly an alpha, you know, in terms of, you know, how he is a person. But yeah, he was fantastic tonight. He was, you know, Amari's going to get a lot of credit, deservedly so. He was terrific, and the guys who score always, you know, get a bunch. But I know Deion only had 6, but I don't know that there was you'd be hard-pressed that there was a more impactful player last night in terms of putting his fingerprints on winning than Deion Brown for the Billikens.
You know, I was looking at numbers last year for Amari, and he shot 53%. For a freshman, that was one of the best performances by a SLU freshman in history. Well, I can see partly why he shoots such a high percentage. That guy gets to the rim. I mean, and he can finish at the rim. He is, yeah. I don't want to pump him up too much. I don't know if you do, but he's as good of a finisher as there is right now in your league.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've said, you know, I've done this 28 years. He's as good around the rim as I've coached. I mean, he's got it with both hands. He can finish with his right hand, finish with his left hand. He finds angles. He's a really hard cover because, like last night, you know, they're putting their bigs on him and trying to back up and had some success because they baited him. You know, he took a couple of threes that we probably, you know, didn't love, not off paint touches, went 0 for 4. But, you know, the trade-off of that was, you know, he was 8 for 9 on twos and got downhill at will being guarded by their fours and fives. And he's such a confrontational driver. He's such a good finisher. If you put a smaller guy on him, he overpowers him. You put a bigger guy on him, he goes by him. You know, he's 6'6 with a 7'1 wingspan. He can extension finish with either hand. And he's got great touch, great ability to find the angles, the geometry of the game. You know, he just, you know, is able to find a way to get the ball to the backboard, have the right spin. And, you know, that's kind of an aid. So, you know, we work on finishing a lot because we hope to be at the rim a lot. But I would love to take credit for that and certainly pass it on to Phil and AP and those guys. But that's a lot of that's just, you know, inside of you, and his ability around the rim is second to none. And you know, we're seeing him kind of take this major step in year two. And that's, you know, what you hope systematically for guys is that they, you know, he gets more comfortable, understands, you know, where he can be aggressive, how to attack. And, you know, he's night and day from where he was 12 months from now. And the scary part for me is, you know, with him, I think he's just starting now to kind of like scratch that surface. I always talked with him about, you know, the chasm between how good he is and what he's capable of. And I said it in the preseason, like when he's turned up ready to play, I think he's not only our best player, I think he's maybe the best player in the league. So, you know, I stand by that.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, it really is a fun team. I mean, you got all these guys that can go downhill, and then, oh, just the, you know, preseason Naismith watch list, Robbie Avila just hanging out back there, bombing threes. If you collapse, it's remarkable to watch. Now, I do think there was, and you alluded to this in the beginning of our conversation, there was a moment or two that you didn't like, and certainly I could see it coming too. Around the 6.5-minute mark, and Chicago State, I think it was around the 7.5-minute mark, this team was not playing to your liking, and Troy and I both saw you stand in the middle of the floor making sure they all walked right by you going into that timeout, and then you let them have it. There, you know, I'm an Indiana football fan, and I love Kurt Cignetti, and one thing he always says is, regardless of score, first play to the last play. And I think that's the philosophy that you have here with this team.
Absolutely. That's, you know, there's, you know, I talk a lot with our guys. Our goals every game are to compete together. Cause I think those are controllable things, how hard you play, your effort, your physicality, and you can control doing it together. You can't control the ball going in or the opponent's ball going in or all kinds of variables in a game, but those are two controllable things. The other thing we talk about is competing present, being present inside the competition, stacking the possession in front of you. The team that wins is the team that stacks the most possessions. You're going to play last night, it was 150 or so, and a lot of nights, 150 to 160 possessions. And so it takes a lot of mental toughness, and it takes a lot of maturity to not let the scoreboard dictate your effort level. The circumstances dictate your effort level, but the really elite teams, really elite programs, there's a standard of play, and that standard of play doesn't change if you're up by 30 or you're down by 30, or it's you're playing every possession like it's, you know, the last possession of the game. You're valuing that possession, you're stacking that possession. That's what we talk about, our guys stack possessions, stack days. It's all about building consistent high level performance. You're building your habits, whether you're up 30 or whatever the case is, and we want to make sure we're building great habits. And so, you know, there's areas like, you know, I subbed, you know, some, that was some on me, and then we just got to play better. Like, I've got to get, you know, Jax and Cam comfortable. They're 10-11 right now. But, you know, there's going to be things that happen likely in the season where we're not going to have all our players available, and we're going to need those guys to play minutes and help us win games, because stuff's going to likely happen. I hope it doesn't. I hope we go the whole season with no injuries or illness, but coached 28 years, never happened the previous 27. So I need to get those guys ready to help us win games at some point. It's a hard scenario for them. But, you know, and I know everybody gets with the net and all that stuff, but we got to play to a certain standard. That standard has to be for the entire 40 minutes, possession one to possession 160. And we have had some where the scoreboard's gotten, you know, in our favor, up 36 against Chicago State, up 27 last night, where, hey, you know, we maybe take our foot off the gas. We got a little cute. I think we had three straight turnovers and three straight possessions with fouls. And it went from 27 to, like, you know, 21, 20 or whatever. And then next thing you know, we labored a little bit down the stretch.
You know, I've always said I think basketball is made for celebrities. It's a great game to attend, and they love to go. You know, Jack Nicholson made it famous at Laker games and at Knick games, Spike Lee. Well, last night, I'm sitting there, and you got Anthony Bonner. You got Jordy or Jed asking people if they're going to Humphreys. You got Brian Jordan and Bernard Gilkey, former Cardinals. I had a chance to visit with them. Timo Baumgartel was at the game, the St. Louis City player. And lo and behold, I had a chance to catch up briefly. Former Missouri Tiger Sophie Cunningham in the house. I mean, there was a big-time celebrity factor at the game last night.
Yeah, I was disappointed to learn that Sophie wasn't there to watch me coach. I was told afterwards that was not her reasoning, so I was a bit disappointed. No, it was a lot of great. I mean, yeah, like you said, so many, you know, former Billikens, great Billikens in the house. Got to spend some time with those guys, and you know, I said it with Rammer, like, you know, we're trying to write our own chapter in St. Louis basketball history in the book that is St. Louis basketball. It's year 100 and whatever, chapter 100, whatever. But, man, do we have incredible respect for the players and coaches and teams that have built this thing and that we get to walk on the foundation that they laid. And so when those guys come back and they're supportive and they're proud of how we compete, like, that means the world, not just to me, but to our players and staff. And seeing some of the people, like you said, some of the celebrities come out, we want to make, you know, Billiken games, a place to be. We want to make it where, hey, that's must-see entertainment. You know, we're going to, you know, they like we talked about, you know, you have to earn home court advantage, and you earn it by, you know, two things. You gotta win first and foremost, and then you gotta entertain. And I think, you know, when we're trying to do both those things at a high level, and I think hopefully, you know, as it goes, people will respond to that. Crowds will continue to get better. I always say, you know, once you come and watch, you know, the team play, it's hard not to get hooked. It's an entertaining style. They play incredibly hard. You know, they play for each other. I think it represents a lot of what, you know, we want, you know, what St. Louis itself is about as a city. And so my hope is that'll just continue to grow and grow. And that 6,000 from last night, next thing you know, is 8. And then hopefully, you know, we're selling Shape It's out. And that becomes the norm, is that place is packed to the gills. And when it is, I've been in there once against Dayton where it was. And it was an incredible atmosphere.
That was a game where I took my daughter last year, sat in the seats. I couldn't have been prouder to sit with the fans and watch that place rock. That was really something.
Yep.
Have fun at Herman Stadium today, SLU and Dayton, A-10 championship. It's a good time to be a Billiken. We appreciate you, Coach.
I appreciate you. Be out there. Hope everybody comes out, supports him. Kevin, the guy's trying to add another championship and get ready for the NCAA tournament. It'll be an awesome day. I'll be there. Cheering the Billikens on. See you soon, Tom.
Thank you. Good to see you and talk to you last night and today. It is the Billikens. They're fun. They get the win 78-64 over Grand Canyon. We'll come back, talk about the Musial Awards with Mark Schreiber right after this.
This is Mike Grimm, former host of the KMOX Sports Open Line. Congratulations to America's greatest radio station, 100 years strong as the voice of St. Louis.
Grimmer, always great to hear him. You know who's turning 20? The Musial Awards, and that's coming up next Saturday at Stiefel Theater. Coming up, it is a great opportunity for you also to see the U.S. Figure Skating Championships at Enterprise Center in January. And to tie both of those together is the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, Mark Schreiber. Good morning, Mark.
Hello, Tom. How you doing? It's great to hear Grimm's voice. That was a nice little hit there.
How about that? A big 100th coming up Thursday celebration. We're going to have a lot of voices on the show. I wanted to tie these two together because, first of all, the Musial Awards, which celebrate sportsmanship and have for 20 years, your featured guest and honoree that evening will be none other than Christy Yamaguchi.
Exactly. And there is a nice tie-in between both events. But, you know, every year with our Lifetime Achievement Award, with the Musial Awards, we sort of go sport by sport, and, you know, you try to look at it. Who's at the top of the list that embodies those values that stand the man exemplified? And, you know, when you get to figure skating, Christy Yamaguchi's right up there, just a model of class and grace and humility, and probably just one of the nicest people you're going to come across. So we're thrilled that she's coming in for the event and that we get to honor her with our highest award for sportsmanship.
This is a show that is on CBS in December, so you want the place to be packed. And I think some people would assume that it's sold out. That is not the case. How do you get tickets for the Musial Awards?
We always go through that every year. People think it's sold out. But, yes, we actually have some great seats remaining in the orchestra. So if you just simply go to musealawards.com and click on tickets, you'll be able to be linked to being able to secure seats for the night. And I can tell you it's going to be something. It's like going to a Broadway show. You're just going to come out feeling good and inspired, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. It's like our town hall for St. Louis, all around celebrating sportsmanship, which is a defining thing of this community.
It is going to be a great night. And then I also think it's important that people understand what the U.S. Figure Skating Championships are going to be like at Enterprise Center coming up in January. This is a huge event, internationally known. And, you know, going back to Tiger Woods playing at the PGA or a Simone Biles at the Dome, This is a monster event, which gets ready for the Winter Olympics.
Exactly. We're going to be in the national spotlight for a week in January. It's the month before the Olympics. The U.S. Olympic team will be decided right here in St. Louis. And U.S. figure skating's at a level where we just have some huge superstars coming in for the event that you're not going to want to miss. And this is as close as we're going to get to the Winter Olympics. So another event that's got tickets remaining. And we certainly hope that St. Louis shows up in force for this event. And again, it just connects so well to our Olympic legacy. And it's going to be an exciting moment for our community.
You can get all the information for that one at skateSt.Louis2026.com, musealawards.com. For the St. Louis Sports Commission's Museal Awards, which is such a great event. It's going to be an awesome few months here moving forward in St. Louis. And, Mark, we appreciate all that you do. We'll continue to direct people that way and make sure that they get part of the action, including this Saturday at the Museal Awards. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tom. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
Our pleasure. We'll be back with much more coming up on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good visit last hour with Josh Schertz. I think that Billiken team is the real deal. They're 4-0. Next game will be Friday against IPFW, Purdue Fort Wayne. They can ball up there. It should be nice, though, to see what they can do just to close out the home early portion of the schedule. Then they play that Thanksgiving night game against Santa Clara, a huge game for them, to get them on the right track. Wouldn't it be nice if you could run the table, oh, my gosh, in the non-conference before the A-10? That is ideal if you're the Billikens. I think they're going to start getting some votes if they do that in the AP top 25. I don't know if they crack the 25, but if they start making some noise in the A-10, they're going to get a lot of attention. I think this team is good. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, and they need to stay healthy. But they are deep, and they are a fun group. We also chatted with Mark Schreiber, MuselAwards.com. And also, you can visit online to learn about the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. I think that's a way bigger deal than people realize. SkateSt.Louis2026.com. Once we get close to that, you're going to wish you were there. I assure you that. That is something that figure skating gets more attention in the Winter Olympics than anything else. And so St. Louis will have the world watching the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. Coming up, Chaim Bloom, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. Kurt is tuning in from New York City because he's fired up about Chaim. I think a lot of Cardinals fans are interested to hear what Chaim has to say on a weekly basis, and we will be doing that with him at 11:30. And Bernie Miklas, of course, will give him plenty of time at 11:45 to close out the show. But first, as we always do on these shows at 11:07, it's time for NFL picks. And let's get to it. First, I have to tell you that we were 5-7. I was 5-7. Drew isn't part of this. I was 5-7 last week, so I take full responsibility for being under 500. A 5-7 record is not good enough. I absolutely strive to make your Sundays better. And so I want winning records. I'm about 500 for the season. I've had some really good seasons. I've had some okay seasons. This would be an okay season. So far, it's week 11. There's a lot more to go. We go against the spread, remember. We're not picking straight up winners here. There's a game underway right now, 4:57 to go. The Dolphins and the Commanders. Doesn't sound like a great game, but they're playing in Madrid, so the fans in Spain are having a ball. And the Dolphins did beat the Bills last week, surprisingly. That was one of my L's I had to take. All right, here we go with the noon games today. You got Carolina at Atlanta. And the Panthers are 5-5 on the season, surprisingly better than the Falcons. I think a lot of people liked Atlanta. In fact, Vegas likes them now. They're a four-point favorite at home against Carolina. Give me the Panthers. I don't care. Give me the Panthers, even though they lost to the Saints. I'm going Panthers bounce back, plus +4 at Atlanta. Tampa Bay at Buffalo. Oh, man, this is going to be a good one. Tampa Bay is a really good team, but I'll say it again. I said it last time that Buffalo took a loss, and then they had Carolina waiting for them. Be careful here, Tampa Bay. You could be in for a beating this afternoon. The last time Buffalo took an embarrassing loss, they lost at Atlanta 24-14. They had to stew for an extra week because they had a bye, and then they destroyed Carolina 40-9 on the road, came home and beat the Chiefs as well. Buffalo still is not a team to be messed with, and I've got them minus -6.5 today against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Houston at Tennessee. C.J. Stroud is injured, so they're going with a backup quarterback today. I'm not sure it matters at Tennessee. The Titans are awful. They're 1-8. Spread's 5.5. Give me Texans minus -5.5. The Chicago Bears are tied for the lead in the NFC North. Wow, 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 wow. At the Vikings, apparently nobody cares because the Vikings are a three-point favorite against the Bears. I got Bears all day on this. Bears plus +3. I think they're on a roll here. And I think they're going to win this game at Minnesota today and go to 7-3. Green Bay at the Giants. Giants fired their coach, Brian Daboll. We'll see if that means anything to them. They're a 7.5-point dog at home against the Packers, who just took a loss at home to the Philadelphia Eagles. This may surprise you, Drew, but I'm going to go Giants here plus +7.5. That half point is bothersome to me to the point where I can't take the Packers on the road 7.5 based on how they move the football. I don't like their offense. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Two really poor teams here. I don't think the Steelers are that good. I liked them last week, granted, and they really disappointed me. I think their defense will hold the Bengals down here. It's a 5.5-point spread. I don't love that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Steelers minus -5.5 at home against the Bengals. They'll beat them by a touchdown, probably. Kind of an ugly game. Chargers at Jacksonville. Now, the Chargers are a little banged up here. Still chasing, though, the AFC West title because they have a chance to make some noise here if the Chiefs beat the Broncos. That would be very helpful to them. The Broncos currently lead that division. The AFC has Denver at 8-2, Chargers 7-3, Kansas City 5-4, and I think the Chargers are better than both of them. But the records are what they are. Chargers have won three in a row. I think they keep it going today at Jacksonville, and they sneak one out on the road. The spread is 2.5. I will give the Jaguars 2.5, Chargers minus 2.5 on the road. These are the afternoon games. Seattle at the Rams is a great contest in the NFC West. Both teams are 7-2. Rams, 3.5-point favorites. I think America has been doubting the Seahawks all year, and I think this is the game where they rise up and show why they might be the best team in the NFC going right now. They will improve to 8-2, and I'm going to take them plus 3.5 at the Rams. San Francisco at Arizona. Brock Purdy is back for the Niners. That's good enough for me. Even though he might be a little shaky with that toe injury, I like them big over the Cardinals today. I'll take the 49ers minus 3.5, even though Arizona's pass defense is not bad. Baltimore at Cleveland. The Ravens, 7.5-point favorites on the road. Okay. That's a lot, man. I'll do it. Ravens minus 7.5 at Cleveland. Cleveland's bad. And the Ravens are starting to get a little traction here with Lamar Jackson being back. They have to continue to win. They can't slip up, and I think they'll figure out a way to win pretty decisively at Cleveland. I'll go Ravens minus 7.5. Why did I doubt myself? Kansas City at Denver. So here we go. This is the game of the day. It's on KMOX. The 8-2 Denver Broncos have won 7 games in a row. Yet they are 4-point underdogs in their own stadium today against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's because of what I just said. The Chiefs are the better team. And today they will have to prove that if they want to continue to be a player in this AFC race. Now, their schedule softens up a little bit, so they will have more opportunities to do it. But I think they do it today. I think the Chiefs minus 4 is a good play at Denver. We'll find out if Denver's a contender or a pretender. Some people think they're a fraud. I don't know that I'd go that far. Detroit at Philadelphia. I really like the Eagles tonight. The Eagles minus 2.5 against the Lions I think is good. I like the Lions a lot, but the Eagles showed me something going on the road and putting the foot down on Green Bay. Dallas at Vegas. On Monday night, Joe Buck with the call on ESPN. Cowboys are 3-5-1 on the season. Vegas is 2-7. Vegas is a dog here, 3.5 points. I might surprise you here. I'm going to go Cowboys. I'm going to go Cowboys. I think they'll have a lot of fans in the seats. I think they'll have some emotion going where they have to get one here Monday night football. I'm going to go Cowboys minus 3.5 on the road at the Raiders. Those are our NFL picks. We'll talk some golf with my buddy Tom O'Toole. Coming up next on KMOX.
On 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to be back with you. Chaim Bloom, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, joining us at 11:30. Right now we get to spend a little time with one of my favorite people. He is the past president of the USGA, and he is the founder of the Metropolitan Amateur Golf Association and leading a redevelopment effort at Normandy Golf Club. Joining us is Tom O'Toole Jr. Tom, it's great to have you back on KMOX.
Always good to be on KMOX with you, Tom Ackerman. Thanks for connecting.
It's good to be with you. Well, what are you up to in North County? I mean, this is really something that has been talked about for a while, and the latest development is that your lead donor is none other than Emerson. Talk about a global leader headquartered right here in St. Louis. They announced a $7 million commitment to the Normandy Reimagine project. That, Tom O'Toole, is going to get people's attention.
I hope so. Certainly a donation of that and contribution of that magnitude is a game changer. I've said this a couple times in the last week, Tom. You know, every project, every initiative, every journey, if you're successful, has a pivotal or monumental moment. ours was on Wednesday with the Emerson announcement, and it is a game changer for this project and for that North County community to retain that asset and to start these programs in the middle of next summer for kids and youth in North County and beyond. It's monumental, really is.
It is already underway. You already started construction about a year ago, if I recall, and I think you have a soft opening that is planned this coming summer. Isn't that correct?
Exactly, Tom. We and Mother Nature is going to have a contribution to this over the next probably 14 to 30 days, but we're pushing to get as many holes as we can get completed by the end of this year, which will then allow us to have at least 9 holes for our programmatic initiatives starting, you know, whenever that grow-in looks good. If we have a mild winter and a good spring, that it could be in May. If we have a little tougher winter, then it might be early June. But, you know, that's what we promised our donors, and we're going to have programs there. Be operating out of a trailer, of course, because we won't have the clubhouse built. But the thing is, we will be impacting the lives of those youth in North County and beyond, and that's what this is all about.
Because golf can bring people together, and you are giving people opportunities to not only expand what they can do physically, but also expand their mind. If you could describe these four pillars: youth empowerment, technology and education, community engagement, and support for heroes. Kind of speak for themselves, but if you could put it into words, Tom O'Toole, what you are trying to accomplish here for the St. Louis area and beyond.
It's, Tommy, it's to have a venue, a place, where all these great philanthropic initiatives like the First Tee of Greater St. Louis, which will have their, this will be their flagship programmatic location, and the Evans Scholars, which gives college scholarships to young boys and girls in our community to have the opportunity to have a college education. Obviously, tech and STEM are also important educational pieces for youth as we prepare for the next level of their lives. So we want to take all the programs that are already existing and have them a place to go so they can implement those talents and those messages that they're delivering to our youth and change their lives. So we don't have the programs as much as we want to have the venue for them to be there. And then the other piece, Tom, really is the community asset retention. You know, Chris Kramer from Beyond Housing, our community development partner, once told me that if you lose a community asset, you'll never get it back. This asset was on the brink of loss. Dilapidation and rundown of the golf course and lack of attention it had for, you know, the better really part of 50 years was on the brink. We brought that back. We're going to retain this asset for who? For the community. This isn't the Metropolitan Golf Association. It's not our 501c philanthropic foundation, the Metropolitan Golf Foundation. It's not Tom O'Toole's. It's for the community. And that's the beauty of it. They can be proud of something that has been there since 1901, and they get to call it theirs.
Tom O'Toole is with us, and this is a Jack Nicklaus signature design public course. It is going to be a facility that I think St. Louis will be very proud of, and we are a golf city. I mean, we are a golf town. Look no further than what's coming to Belle Reve next year. It just so happens that the timing of this also aligns with the Western Golf Association bringing in the BMW Championship, Tom. I mean, what a year that's going to be. And then on the horizon, the President's Cup at Belle Reve.
Right, and look what Stiefel's doing for golf in the PGA Tour Champions. So you're right, Tommy. We are a golf city, and we need to continue. But let's introduce the game to those who otherwise might not have been initiated enough or privileged enough to get to it, to have those things that you learn and are taught in golf to redirect their lives. That's the strategy. That's the second part of the strategy, to have these programs that expose people to this game, that create things like integrity and sportsmanship and you know, self-policing. Those are life skills that we can apply well past our golf experiences or even our golf involvements. So that's the hope. But you're right, the Jack Nicklaus, let's not lose sight of a couple of things here this morning. Number one, Jack Nicklaus is 85 years old. He's designed over 400 courses. He doesn't need to come and do this. Obviously, he waived a substantial fee because he believed in the mission. He believed in the vision. That's important. This project changed the first time when I was able to convince Jack to come and on board. I bet you could solicit your listeners. There's many golf courses that were built by Jack Nicklaus where he appeared maybe once or twice, and his staff did the construction and built it. He's been here five times, coming back in December. He's committed to this project. That's a game changer. The second thing is, you know, the fact that Lal Karsanbhai and the Emerson board, I guess, had the vision or saw necessary to support this project in this magnitude is, again, it's monumental. And so without those two guys, you know, I'm good chance I'm still slugging this along in North County trying to pull this off. We're unbelievably grateful and indebted to both.
A $7 million commitment from Emerson to Normandy Reimagined. The project can be found at Normandy, which is with an IE, reimagined.com. NormandyReimagined.com to learn more. And what a great announcement and great visit. I always love catching up with you. We get to see each other from time to time. Not often we get to chat on KMOX, and I assure you it won't be the last.
Well, Tommy, thanks. Thanks for being our advocate. You're the largest voice in the region. And to disseminate this story to your listeners is important because we're still raising money to build the rest of the project. It changed last Wednesday thanks to Lal and the Emerson board.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you. We'll see you soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom O'Toole Jr. with us on KMOX. We will take a break when we come back. Chaim Bloom, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, live on Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday Morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
It is 11:31, and it is our time to visit with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom. Always a pleasure, Chaim. Thank you for doing this.
You bet. Good morning.
Good morning. How was Vegas? The GM meetings, I understand you were a popular man, not only because of all the possibilities out there this offseason for the Cardinals and others, but your first one as an executive in a little while. I'm sure it was nice to catch up with everybody.
Yeah, I guess it's always nice to be popular. You know, it's a fun time of year, and that, like we've talked about, it's kind of the unofficial kickoff to the off season. And for an industry where a lot of the people you know are in different places and scattered around the country, it's fun to get everybody together. You get to see a lot of your peers, see a lot of your friends, and start talking shop.
Yeah, and talking shop is certainly what the GM meetings are all about, right? Let's start there, is that just to lay it out for everybody, you're at a hotel in Las Vegas. In this case, it was the Cosmopolitan, and it's an opportunity for everybody to visit. There are no expectations that fireworks are going to happen this early in the offseason at the GM meetings.
Yeah, that's accurate. You know, it really serves two purposes. One, like you talked about, it gets the industry together. Every team sends a delegation, not their entire front office, but some sort of delegation just to connect with each other. Some of it's social and some of it you talk business. And also Major League Baseball sends a number of their people. It's their chance to get all the baseball operations departments together to talk about things related to the industry and things that we might need to know, whether it has to do with rules, whether it has to do with business issues. So it serves all those purposes, but really the part that we probably spend the most time focusing on is the conversations with other teams. And you have plenty of agents there who want to start off-season conversations about their players, and then, of course, plenty of our friends in the media.
Yeah, absolutely. You have free agency that is underway, and you also have the trade market is out there, and that's what I understand is that a lot of teams probably look at the Cardinals and say, there are possibilities for us. There are players who make a lot of money. There are players that don't make a lot of money. There are players that have no trade clauses. There are players that don't. You offer a lot to teams out there. Number one target for you, again, is pitching. I guess my question, when you look at what you have to offer, you know, the word we used for so many years was logjam. This team has a logjam at this position or that position. The word that I hear over the last couple of years is more redundancy, that you try to clear your roster of that. Do you look at it that way, that you're trying to sort out and organize this roster in a better way?
There can be times when you look at it that way. On one hand, you can never have too much of a good thing. And so if you have more talented players than spots, that's not a bad thing, but it might also mean that you're not optimizing your roster, and there might be a chance to align that talent in a different way that can help you win more games both now and down the road. So for sure you look at it like that, but you know, it's better to have too much of something than too little of it. So, you know, again, it's not really something that you look at as a problem, just maybe an opportunity to find some way to improve your roster.
And also looking at what you have coming too, is you want to clear... Do you want to clear pathways for some of your higher-rated prospects to succeed? Does that become a factor when you start to visit in terms of trade talks?
You never want anybody to be blocked. You never want anybody to be ready to help you, able to improve your team and not have a pathway to do so. There is a balance there because you also don't want to be in a position where you have to push guys into the fire before they really should be there, and you shortcut that development process. Usually when that happens, you end up paying for it either then or down the road. So there is a balance to maintaining enough depth that guys can develop at the pace that they need to develop, but also that they have a lane to impact you when they're ready to do that.
When we talked last week before you embarked on these meetings, we discussed pitching. We actually did that the last couple of weeks, and there were two different ways to look at it. Via trade, you could try to acquire some young, more controllable pitchers. Of course, that comes at a cost. And when it came to free agency, if I remember correctly, you kind of looked at pitchers perhaps that could find an opportunity here in St. Louis to light their career back up, to get a spark, to find something that maybe rediscovered could launch them into the next part of their career. Did that come to fruition? Was that aligned with what you sort of heard, conversations that you had while you were there?
We've talked about all that. And I should add, just because we're focused on pitching does not mean we're going to walk past opportunities to get potential core players on the offensive side of the ball. We obviously want to make sure we're doing anything we can to grow our long-term core. But yeah, all those guys could fit. And, you know, it's kind of the holy grail for 30 clubs in a sense, is to be able to find somebody that you can make better, whose career you can really enhance, and who can be a big part of your club going forward if you're able to get him somewhere that maybe his last stop didn't. Every club takes pride in trying to do that and in trying to circle the guys that can help you do that. I think as time has gone on, obviously the industry has really ramped up how it looks at those players. And so you're rarely the only one on a player. Usually if you see something that can blossom into something bigger, you're not the only team that sees that, but you might be the team that has a better opportunity, or you might, for whatever reason, be the place that that player thinks is best suited to him to go take that next step in his career. So we try to put our best foot forward as we start having those discussions more intently as the offseason goes on, and just try to find the right match.
Because 2027 status is up in the air because of a potential stoppage, does that matter? Does that play a factor here?
You don't want to overthink that, because the truth is, anytime you get near the expiration of a CBA, there's going to be a new agreement. You never know exactly what that's going to look like. You just want to make sure you're in position that whatever it does look like, you can be nimble enough to adjust to it, to take advantage of the opportunities that are there within it. Obviously, things can always change, but, you know, that's always the case in our business. There's always uncertainty around what the future looks like. That's part of what makes it fun, is that nobody has a crystal ball. So we all try to do the best we can. And if you overthink that to the point where you're not just looking for talent, you may end up regretting that.
Chaim Bloom is with us, and you mentioned the offensive side as well. I know the answer to this is probably you're looking everywhere for anything that can improve the club, I'm sure. But I'll be honest. I mean, I'm watching the postseason, and I'm seeing teams hit the ball out of the ballpark and change games with this one swing of the bat. And I looked at the Cardinals roster, and I thought, I don't know who does that right now. And so my question to you is power. Where do you see it at the moment, and is that something that you covet right now for 26 and beyond?
It's just a fact, like you said, that we didn't do that much in 2025. And look, it is important, I think, to be a complete player and to be a complete hitter. Not every situation, not every pitch calls for trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And if you can't do some of those little things well, if you can't be a hitter first, you'll be too exploitable to get to your power. But that said, in today's game, with as nasty as pitchers are, as infrequent as contact is becoming, you better make that contact count when you do get it, and you better be able to take advantage of those good counts when it's a good time to try and drive the baseball. So it's certainly something that we look to do. It is a big part of today's game. I think there are some guys on our roster who have a chance to do more and more of that as time goes on. But obviously something that you look at out in the market. It's tough in a sense to go ask a player to hit for power without expecting him to have a good foundation as a hitter. You'd like guys to get to that more naturally. The game's just too hard to assume that if you're swinging for the fences on every pitch, that's what you're going to get. It usually comes better from a sound approach and from being able to work a count and get into an advantage count where a pitcher has to give you something that you can drive.
Last thing before we go, this time always goes so fast, I never have enough time, but I'm really, really interested in how the information is used by your front office to evaluate. I'm interested in how the scouting will look from top to bottom, the front office. I know you're going to unveil all of this, but can you give us a window into sort of how you're rearranging the look of the organization from that standpoint, evaluating players, the ones that you have, but the ones that you're trying to go find, or in terms of the opposition, just the way the Cardinals are reimagining how they look from that standpoint?
Yeah, this is always something that you want to try to evolve and move forward. Definitely, having come into this organization pretty recently, it's something where I see some opportunity just to build a more robust process around how we do that. What it really comes down to is everything you just described, whether it's information from our scouts, whether it's statistical information, whether it's medical, whether it's makeup, you name it. It's all information. It all has some bearing on our evaluation, on the decisions we make. But it's important to use that information in the right way, use it in the right proportion, make sure you are using the right information to answer the questions that you have, and to be able to dig deeper on any particular player. What do we feel we have a good handle on? Where do we feel we need more information? What specific questions loom as we look at a player and try to break down not just who he is, but who he can be? So building a process that allows you to do that systematically across every player, whether it's your own player, whether it's players you might acquire, whether it's a guy who's in the big leagues or a guy who's in the Dominican Summer League, that's really where we have opportunity to build this out. And the better you can do that, the better you're going to be able to make decisions on those players. Again, whether it's your own player or whether there's players you have a chance to acquire. That's really behind the curtain where a lot of the competition is between teams. We're all trying to make better assessments. And you've seen teams spend more and more time on building a good process to do that. This is something where you go back 20 years, the Cardinals really emerged as leaders in being able to do that and in having a good process to combine all the information they had, regardless of who was supplying it or where it was coming from. If it's good information, we want to use it well. And the competition in the industry to do that is so intense. So this is a space where we can step up, we can improve our process and try to retake that advantage, because it's just fundamental to making really good decisions and getting better players.
It's a new way to look at it. Chaim Bloom, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, with us on KMOX. Thank you for the time. We love these Sundays, and we'll catch up with you next Sunday.
You got it. Enjoyed it.
Good to visit with you. When we come back, Bernie Miklas. Talk sports with us. It's Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stifel Sports Studio.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Love visiting with Chaim Bloom. That was always, always is a treat. It's 8 minutes on the clock for Bernie Miklas. And you know what? We love the fact that we have so many sponsors. That's what pays the bills, my man. So this is a good thing. Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, bringing in Bernie Miklas. Bernie, let me start with the bad first, and then we'll get into some other stuff.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I am just, I'm just so bummed out about the Blues, and I don't want to get, like, I don't want it to ruin everybody's day, but they are terrible. I mean, they're just not good. You cannot tell me that this Blues team is suddenly going to flip a switch and be a playoff team based on what I see.
You know, when they did that last year, it was understandable because, you know, with all due respect, I don't think Drew Bannister was the coach that was going to get them out of a rut last year. And Jim Montgomery did. And Jim Montgomery has got one of the best regular season winning percentages by a coach in the history of the NHL. So when Monty engineered that pretty dramatic turnaround last season after a poor start, you could see, okay, yeah, that's him. He's a really excellent coach. Well, Monty's the coach now. And it's like they can't bring in another Monty to turn it around because he's already here. So it really is kind of an indictment of this roster and the number of players that just aren't doing enough and are not playing up to their capability. And it starts with goaltending, but that's not the only problem. There's all kinds of issues. I think it's just a lot of it is just, again, underachievement by players that you're paying a lot of money to who are better than they are, than they're showing, and they need to be much better than they've been showing.
I hope the players hear it. I mean, I hope they hear the criticism. I hope it gets to them, and it something's got to light them up. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, let me move into coaching in terms of football. Eli Drinkwitz stomps Mississippi State 49-27, 300 yards for Ahmad Hardy. My question is this. I want to advance it to this topic because it is a topic. Is Eli Drinkwitz going to be coaching elsewhere, or is he going to be at Missouri for the foreseeable future? You don't have a crystal ball, but right. When you start to look at these vacancies, do you think Drink is really a candidate, or do you think he stays back in Columbia?
You know, if I had to bet a couple bucks, I'd say he stays. But am I confident in that? No. It all depends on what he values. If he doesn't think he can get Mizzou to be a playoff caliber team or a national championship caliber team, that he's got to go to a much larger platform, a more historically prominent platform to attain that, then he would be inclined to go. You know, would that be Penn State? Would that be Florida if Kiffin doesn't go there? Would it be LSU? And Drink is, when I say crazy, I mean this as a compliment. Drink is actually crazy enough to where he would be ideal for the craziness down in LSU, right? So it just all depends what he's looking for. You know, here's the one thing, though, man. As far as getting 100% support from administration, 100% support from Jefferson City, 100% support from the big money people behind the program, the AL, all that stuff, facilities. I need that. Boom, they do it. I need this. Boom, they do it. I could really use this. You got it. How many places is he going to find to where his wish is their command? They're going to do whatever he wants them, they will do whatever he feels he needs. And he's got 100% of everyone behind him. He doesn't even have to answer to the athletic director. Technically, he reports right to the university president. So, you know, it's like you've gotten this program up to a really impressive level the last 3 years, really impressive level. There's been a couple setbacks. But this idea that you can't make the playoff, I would push back on that because, listen, if you make a couple more plays against Alabama, you make a couple more plays against Vanderbilt, you know, and you keep, you know, your first two quarterbacks healthy. Yeah, I think this is a playoff team. This would have been a playoff team this year. It's not like Mizzou in their setbacks and the games they had to win. It's not like they were getting destroyed. Yeah, I mean, Texas A&M did it, but the circumstances were unusual. You know, so I think they can still achieve the goals and the dreams that he would like to get this program to, especially if they expand to a 16-team playoff, which doesn't look like it's going to happen in the next round of expansion, but it's going to happen soon enough.
Yeah, I hope it does at some point. I really do, actually. I think it'd be nice to have even a bigger tournament. We have 3 minutes on the clock, so let me wrap with this.
Okay, man.
And that is, the winter meetings are coming. The GM meetings are complete. Have you changed any thoughts on how the Cardinals are going to go about this, and who are the most likely candidates to be traded to acquire pitching in your mind?
I would say Brendan Donovan, number one. I would say Sonny Gray, as long as he consents, obviously, with the no trade. I do believe Arenado will be traded. But that's in a separate category because you're not going to get anything in return, not much anyway. You will with Gray and you will with Donovan. So I would put him in that order. I don't get a sense Wilson Contreras wants to go anywhere. So I think they'd be very silly to trade Burleson. I think they'd be silly to trade Herrera. I do think there's a couple guys you can build around. So that's and I think Pahe is going to get traded. But that's it again. That's a separate category. But that's how I'd rank it based on your request there.
Yeah, I think so. And then your acquire, we got about a minute or so. But you're looking at pitching. Young, controllable pitching would be ideal. But you could grab a couple of guys that maybe want to resurrect their careers.
There's no doubt about it. I think Heim Bloom and his people, the guys that he's hired, I think they qualify as turnaround specialists. They spot things in guys that can make them much better. And I think that there will be a number of candidates like that where they see something that maybe a lot of other teams don't see. So, yeah, a cost controllable guy plus one guy that has done it in the past. Maybe he's towards the end of his career, but you can get a good year out of him just by fixing a couple things.
Yep. Your incumbents right now, Gray, Palante, McGreevy, Liberatore. Certainly looks like McGreevy, Liberatore would be in there. Not sure about the first two. And then Kyle Leahy's got a shot to be in this rotation as well. But you can never have enough pitching. I mean, give me all the candidates. Battle it out. Duke it out. Let's go.
I'll be real quick. I did a deep dive on Leahy this past week. And I am convinced he could be a good starting pitcher. He's got five pitches that are above average. How many major league starting pitchers can say that, right?
Yeah, and he's tough.
I mean, and he is tough. And you know, when he pitched two innings or more this past season, he did that 20 times. You know what his ERA was? 1.01.
That's what I'm talking about. Bernie Miklas, yeah. Appreciate you, man. Have an awesome Sunday, buddy.
You got it, man. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Good show today. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.